No one better to have on the morning roast just a couple of days before the 49ers give it another go against the Rams than a guy who knows a hell of a lot more about playing offensive line than we do. So let's talk some 49ers football with former 49ers All-Pro guard Alex Boone. Alex joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Alex, thanks so much for joining the morning roast this morning with Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky, and Kate Scott. It has been too long. How are you, Alex? Where are you? What's going on this Friday morning, man?
It's going great. I'm in Minnesota right now, so it's deathly cold. I don't know how you guys are doing. But other than that, I mean, everything's great. We're playing football now. Some teams are playing better than others, and others need to pick it up. But for the most part, what's there to complain about?
I'm right there with you. And as far as cold is concerned, Alex, you know, come on. It's October in San Francisco. I'm in a T-shirt. I could have worn shorts this morning, but I came in at 4 a.m., so I was like, nah, I should probably wear the pants. But we're thinking about you, man. Okay, well, let's get right into the meaty stuff. There's been a lot of criticism about the 49ers offensive line the past couple of weeks. And as I said, as somebody who knows the position well better than the three of us do, what has been your critique of the 49ers O-line the past couple of weeks?
You know, I think some of it falls on communication, and I think that's the number one thing, and that's where it has to start. You see plays where there's mental errors and guys are kind of looking at each other like, hey, I thought you were supposed to be there. Where were you? You can see this look all the time on everybody, right? And sometimes you do it because you don't want to look stupid on TV, but sometimes you genuinely do it. And you can tell when guys are genuinely mad at each other because they're thinking, hey, listen, I thought we were going to do this. Now you're doing this. What's going on? That's just a level of communication. And I think that when you look at these teams right now, the teams that are succeeding without a preseason, without OTAs, without all that off-season training, are basically succeeding on the communication. They're not afraid to say what's going on. They're all on the same page. And sometimes, as corny as it sounds, it's kind of like playing high school ball. Everyone's kind of barking out things where normally a gamer's more quiet. But you don't have that because, number one, you have a new offensive line. You have new guys in there, guys filling in roles. Trent Williams came in. Brunskill came in. You got Ben Garland in the middle right now. There's so many different guys, and especially when you include different people into the group, you have to be more communicative. You have to be out there with each other. You have to make sure everybody knows what you're doing because you're seeing it on film. And the other thing is, you got to line up and play ball. At the end of the day, you're going to be put into positions that sometimes you have to take risks, and you have to go out, and you have to be a big boy. And I remember people told me, if you want to make a name, it's going to be on somebody else's back. Somebody else you're going to have to play is going to come out here and you're going to kick their hind end, and that's how it's going to go. You don't see a lot of that right now. You kind of see guys not knowing what's going on, playing more passive. And to me, that's not 49er football.
No, it's not, Alex. And you know what? Aaron Donald's coming to town, number 99. And you know what? How do you block this guy, Alex? How do you block this guy when you have a struggling offensive line that's given up 23 quarterback hits over the last 2 weeks and 10 sacks? I mean, where should my confidence level be when I see number 99 on the other side of the line of scrimmage?
I'll tell you what, Aaron Donald's having one hell of a year right now, and I think that what he's doing is more terrorizing people through the media than he is on the field, because in the media he's talking about how frustrated he is. But the truth is, you have to keep him frustrated. He doesn't want to be double-teamed, and I knew coaches when I played that were like, oh, we're not going to double him. He's the guy you double the whole game. I don't care. I remember when we played him, they used to bring the blitz from opposite of Aaron every single time, so they made you pick your poison. Are you going to let Aaron go one-on-one? Are you going to let our safety or outside linebacker come off the edge on the other side? And those are choices you have to make. But when you're watching Aaron Donald play football, he is an extremely rare player. He is incredible. He's always hyped up. He's always turned up. He never looks it. And that's the one thing when you're watching him play. People that double-team him, they're successful against him. And then all of a sudden something happens and they say, oh, we got to make an adjustment. No. The adjustment is you block 99. You need to handle him this week for this game. He is the heartbeat of this team. Do not let him get started.
I'm ready to run right through a brick wall. This feels like the NFC playoff game all over again, Bonte, with Alex Boone getting me all fired up. I'm going to ask about Rams week a little later, but let's get right into McGlinchey because, you know, Alex, you're a savvy guy. You're trying to get into the media, and you're great at like kind of understanding the plight of the player in the modern era specifically. Mike McGlinchey addressing the Twitter haters. Like, I'm a little worried for Mike, to be honest with you. I guess my question is, what do you do with Mike McGlinchey? McGlinchey right now basically acknowledging that the noise is kind of getting to him?
I think you tell him to relax. And what I say by that, I mean, you got to go to him and kind of say, hey, listen, man, don't worry about all that nonsense. And I would physically do this as a player, like, hey, listen, enough of that. Like, those people don't matter. And I think that one of the messages that the 49ers always used to have, and it was a great message, was it's us versus them. And once you let them get into your mind, the game is over. And Mike is pivotal for this offense. They need him to be tough. And at times he takes risks. Is he always right? No, but that's football. And I can respect that in a player. I don't want the same old robot out there every play. I don't want the guy that's going to go out there and do it exactly right this time, because then all of a sudden it's going to come become a problem somewhere later. He takes risks, and sometimes he's not rewarded. But I also think that not having Joe there, I think Joe was a big pillar for him. I think when you're looking at this team, I think that not having Joe Staley out there right now is kind of showing. Joe was one of those guys that had the respect of everybody. Mm-hmm. And when I say everybody, I even mean the Yorks. And that's important because people will always look to you for that, and you're the pillar that everybody needs, and all of a sudden you're gone one day, and there's no offseason, and nobody really has a chance to take that role of stepping up and being the guy that everyone can count on. And I think that Mike is kind of being put in a position where you're kind of like, is it you? Are you the guy that has to stand up, or is it going to be Trent? Who's the guy that's going to come out here? You don't have Weston right now, which is a huge loss because he's the kind of guy that sets the tempo. Weston's your guy that goes out there and says, this is the attitude of the game. Me hitting you in the face 65 times, and if you stand around this pile, I'll make you even more sorry. That's what you love about Weston. But with Mike, it's kind of like, hey, listen, we need you to be the guy to step up. You need to start mauling people. You need Daniel to come along with you. We need you to be a leader. And I think that with the offense being in flux as they are and not having Joe there, no offseason, it's kind of a formula for a bad recipe.
Oh, man. Talk about getting us fired up. We knew we were going to be having fun with Alex Boone, but only had him on for a couple of minutes, and I'm already ready, as Joe said, to run through a wall. Alex Boone with us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on the Morning Roast. I'm so glad you brought up Joe Staley and Trent and Mike, Alex, because we were talking about this yesterday and how it's got to be difficult, right? McGlinchey is expected to be the next guy to kind of take over for Joe. But now here comes Trent, this incredible tackle with an incredible resume, but he's new to the 49ers. So I don't know if you had any experience with that when you were playing with the 49ers or on one of the other teams you played for, but what is that struggle like when you've got a couple of guys who both are kind of looked to be leaders? How does that go down, and how do you finally figure it out?
I mean, I think it just happens naturally. It's one of those things that has to happen organically. I think the more people try to pretend to be phony, and we're the biggest, we'll catch you quickly. We know when you're faking it because we see you play football. The film does not lie to us, and we see you in practice. And if you're working hard and you're out there taking these hits and you're not complaining, you're not doing all this, you naturally become a leader. People want to be around you, right? Nobody wants to be around someone negative and all that. I think once you let the outside world infiltrate you and you become kind of negative-minded, people start to worry about you. And I think that's why people are like, hey, listen, you need to stay off Twitter. Don't worry about those guys. But more importantly, you need to start coming together as an offense. I think the offense is kind of sputtering at times, and people obviously coming off this last game, people have a lot to say. Don't let that affect you. Nobody in the outside world should ever let a team get dismantled, ever. And that's the biggest culprit. If you ever look at these teams that were great and you say, hey, what happened to them? Somebody started to listen to somebody that had no business talking to them. They weren't listening to their teammates. They weren't listening to the coaches. They weren't staying in-house. They were going outside for some problem that they thought they had when they really didn't. They need to band together and start running the ball and putting their foot through people's faces like they did last year.
I love it, Alex. You know what, Alex? Shasky mentioned how you talked to us before the NFC Championship game. And I remember you telling us about Joe Staley when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to San Francisco. And Joe Staley said, you know, I'm going to stick around and play because this guy's a natural born leader. This guy can throw the rock. He's a leader at the quarterback position. Now think about what's transpired since the NFC Championship. The Super Bowl loss, week one against Arizona. Last week he gets yanked at halftime for C.J. Beathard, where Shanahan quote-unquote says he's protecting him. Has your perception changed on who Jimmy Garoppolo is as a quarterback? And do you still believe, Alex, that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback for this team moving forward?
Dude, I'm not a Fairweather fan. You know that. I love Jimmy. I love what he brings to the table. I love his mindset. I love the fact that he can always be a positive person in a negative situation. I think people right now are overreacting, and they're worried and they're upset, as they should be. I mean, look at the state of the world right now, and then you throw 49ers football on top of it. It's like, wait a minute. They went to the Super Bowl last year, and now all of a sudden we're having problems. What is it? Look at the injuries on this team. Look at the guys that are down right now. And I know I never make excuses ever because that's not an excuse. If you're expected to step up, that's your job. This is the NFL. This isn't college. This isn't peewee. You're expected to show up and do your job. And that's one of the things that I heard George Kittle talking about this week was we need to start holding more people accountable. Listen, just because you're a backup doesn't mean you're allowed to go out there and play like a backup. It means when you get out there and you don the red and gold. You need to go out and play like a starter. You need to show people what's going on. And at times, defenses are having answers for this offense. Hey, listen, we're going to close the middle of the field. We're going to take away all the things they like, and we're going to force them to run it and force them to throw it outside the numbers. Then go out and do it. Whoever you are, Nick Mullen, C.J. Beathard, whatever it is, you have to go out and compete and play. And that's how you get the respect from your teammates. That's how you start winning games. You have to go out and create long drives. You have to go out and make a play. That's everything that they did last year. And now all of a sudden, it seems like this year is such a problem because guys are down. You guys are expected to step up. At times, the offense is sputtering. The defense has to blitz more. They don't get enough rush. I mean, there's so many things that are happening that all of a sudden you say, hey, listen, let's calm down. Look what we did last year. Look at the ride we went on. We are still that team. We can still do this. We need to go out and put the pedal to the metal and go.
Alex, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. Look, I know you played for one of my favorite players of all time, who's from that golden era, Tom Raftman. I mean, you were on the side of the ball with him all the time. I'm sure he told you what Ram Week meant to him. And I know that you played during different rivalries, different eras. It was in St. Louis. It wasn't exactly the same. But get these fan base fired up. What does Ram Week mean to these guys? What does it mean to you?
I mean, it means everything. I remember we used to go there in St. Louis, in that stadium. I hated it because it was so dark, but it was so bright at the same time. It was the weirdest place. But they would be so fired up for us. And we always hated Seattle. Like, our biggest gripe was with Seattle. We'd always play that stuff. But for whatever reason, the Rams hated us. And I don't know what it was. I think it was because we were kind of the stars of the NFC West, and they wanted to be there. And they would come out, and they would punch us as hard as they could. And it was a tough punch because that's when they first started getting Aaron, and they started revamping this whole team. But this team, make no mistake, they look to kill everything. They are out for blood. This is a team right now, especially. They feel like they've kind of been wronged in the past. They're coming back. They're starting to get their mojo. Their offense is firing on all cylinders. But that's nothing to worry about because, to me, it's still kind of one of these, hey, listen, who's tougher, me or you? You go out long enough. You contain 99. You slow down their rush, and the game is yours to be had. This game is not, hey, listen, the Rams are coming. They're 4-1. We watched those four games, okay? It wasn't like they were out of control going crazy. Yeah, Washington was, but that's different. For the most part, this game is could be had. You have to go out and believe it and turn it around.
On that note, Alex, this was awesome. Hope you'll join us again soon because you got us fired up on this Friday morning. And speaking of, you haven't retired yet, right? Can we bring you back for a few more snaps?
We need you, Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody call Prague. I'm in.
Hey, I think your son's going to be ready to be in. I mean, last time I saw him, he was like 8 years old and, I don't know, a foot and a half taller than me. So I'm sure he's ready to be drafted by the 49ers in the coming years.
Quarterback.
Dude, he loves the 49ers so much. When Jimmy got hurt, he almost cried. He was like, Dad, what am I going to do? I was like, dude, he'll be back. Don't worry. I mean, like, he's with me. He's like, Dad, what's the problem with this team? I'm like, let's talk about this.
Bonte almost cried too, so it's all good, Alex. You know, we all grieve in different ways.
Oh, this is great, Alex.
You guys are the best.